but hey, giant, giant mud of a diet, hey. But hey, giant, giant mud of a diet, hey. Caroni, mandala maite. Gokula taroni, mandala maite. Rahei jaya jaya mandala taite.
Adi Rama, 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 Rama,
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parapatikacharya Osu Teta Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalana Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnavin Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shibasidhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindikajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shaima Kunda Radhakunda Gidi Gopidan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagannath Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lalasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindikajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Mo. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaura Vani Pracharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. So let's read the translation to Sri Radhika Stava. O Radha, all glories unto you, all glories unto you, O beloved of Madhava, object of worship for all the young girls of Gokula. You dress yourself in such a way as to increase Lord Damodar's love and attachment for you. You are the controller of Vrindavan, the pleasure groves of Lord Hari. You are a new moon arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu. You are the friend of Lalita, and your wonderful qualities, friendliness, kindness, and faithfulness to Krishna endear you to Vishakha. You are an ocean of compassion, and your divine characteristics are described by the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sananda, and Sanat Kumar, O Radha. Please be merciful to me. So, Srila Rupa Goswami, Ki Jai. Okay, and let's see. Oh, next is Om Aganati Midanda Sha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Midinam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, we're going to continue with our study of the Nectar of Instruction. We are on the eighth verse, second part of the purport in the eighth verse of the Nectar of Instruction. And we're going to read this nice poem by, well, actually one verse of the nice poem, the Goswami Ashtaka. Nana Shastra Vicharatna Kinipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam hitakarano tribhuvane manyo shudanya karohu Radha Krishna padaravinda vajana nandena mataliko vande rupa sanatano raguyago shri jiva gopalakohu. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert and scrutinizingly studying all revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the moon of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Okay, so we're in the middle of the study of the eighth verse in the Upadeshamrita. Upadeshamrita means the nectar of instruction, Upadeshamrita. And I'm just going to read the eighth verse again, and then we'll continue in the middle of the purport. How about that? Okay, so the eighth verse is Tanama Rupa Chatati Sukirt Sananu, Smritjo Kramena Rasanamanasini Oja, Tishtan Rajeta Danuragi, Jananu Kami, Kalamnya Tekilamit Yupadesha Saram. And the translation is, the essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, and nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, and thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Braja, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, actually Rupa Goswami, is describing the Raghunuga stage and also the perfect stage, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, that in the Raghunuga stage you actually live in your mind in Vrindavan and serve one of Krishna's Nitya Parshadas, eternal associates. And also in the perfect stage you have your sadhana rupa and your siddha rupa. What does that mean? Sadhana rupa means the form that you manifest in this world in which you execute sadhana bhakti. And in the same time, you have realized your siddha rupa. So you actually live in both places simultaneously. That's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting to live in both places simultaneously. So that's what's coming up. That's a coming up attraction. If you follow the process of devotional service very, very strictly, and thereby, or therefore, when you leave the body, there'll be no anxiety, because you'll be fully absorbed in your siddha rupa, and you're going to be giving up your sadhana rupa. Okay, with that in mind, let's go and continue reading the purport for this particular verse. Middle of the purport right now. Let me share the screen so you can all see it. Hold on a second. Share. And set up the windows. Yeah. Okay. It's a coming attraction for us. When, oh, when will that day be mine? Whew. When I realize my spiritual identity. When all my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing. When, oh, when will that day be mine? Kabi habe bolo seindinama aparada guche harinama ruche. So this is the prayers of the great acharyas. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, actually this Bhaktivinoda Thakura's prayer. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura has commented as follows upon this verse. One who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regulated principles, namely chanting, remembering Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, and so forth. In this way, after developing a taste for such things, one should try to live in Vrindavan and pass this time, constantly remembering Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, and qualities under the direction and protection of an expert devotee. This is the sum and substance of all instruction regarding the cultivation of devotional service. In other words, that's devotional service. You know, you have to give up certain things, and those things are bad association, associated with the modes of nature, and then positive things here in chant about Krishna, and try to help others come to Krishna consciousness. Then you have special mercy, special dispensation when you help other people come to Krishna consciousness. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravanadas, the stage of hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental name of Krishna, hearing of his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, one can attain to the stage of acceptance, which is called Varnadas. So there's Shravanadas and then Varnadas. When one attains this stage, he becomes attracted to the hearing of Krishna Katha. And then he just talks about Krishna. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smaranavastava, the stage of remembering. Recollection absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the first, are the five values of progressive Krishna Smarana. Krishna Smarana means remembering Krishna. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, but later remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated and is called meditation. When meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti. Anu means it follows the remembrance. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, remembrance, one enters the stage of samadhi, or spiritual trance. After smaranadas, that means remembering, or samadhi, has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. That is called sampati dash, the perfection of life. So which level are we on? Probably we're all on Shravanadas. Chaitanya Charitamrita advises those who are neophytes to give up all kinds of motivated desires and simply engage in the regulated devotional service of the Lord according to the directions of Scripture. What does it mean to give all up all sorts of motivated desires? Giving up things is really hard. No. You take something positive. You have the desire to please Krishna, you have the desire to please the spiritual master, and then automatically there's no room for anything else. That's all. You know, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. So if the mind is absorbed, there's no time to be idle, no time for the devil. In this way, a neophyte can gradually develop attachment for Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities, and so forth. When one has developed such attachment, he can spontaneously serve the lotus feet of Krishna, even without following the regulated principles. He still follows the regulated principles, but he doesn't have to think about them. Just be really careful in understanding this. It doesn't mean he doesn't follow the regulated principles. It means he follows them, but he doesn't think about them as being regulated principles. They're not restrictions because he has no inclination. This stage is called Raga Bhakti, or devotional service and spontaneous love, and Raga Nuga, which is the higher stage of what? Sadhana Bhakti. There's Sadhana Bhakti, which is, Sadhana Bhakti means practice, has two branches, and I'm sure you all remember this, I've talked about it many, many times before. It has the Vaidhi branch, which is rules and regulations. Why do you do this? It's a role. Of course, you should understand why the rule is there. But still, you know, you're very much rule-bound. And then in the Raganuga stage, you follow the rules, but spontaneously. And also, you're following in the footsteps of a resident Vrindavan, as this verse states, and living in your mind, at least, in Vrindavan. At that stage, the devotee can follow in the footsteps of one of the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. It's called eternal associates, like Sudam, Supal, Aduruka, Lalita, Vishaka, Yashoda Mai. This is called Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service, can be executed in the Shantaras when one aspires to be like Krishna's cows or the stick or flute in the hand of Krishna or the flowers around Krishna's neck. So Shanta means peaceful. It has to be mixed with Samdasha. Okay, although it's primarily Shanta, because the Krishna's cows, definitely they serve Krishna, and they provide milk, don't they? The stick serves Krishna, flute serves Krishna, flowers around Krishna's neck serves Krishna, but that's not their primary rasa. They're actually absorbed in just how beautiful Krishna is. And of course, all the rasas, they're absorbed in how beautiful Krishna is. But there's different manifestations of that absorption. So in the dasharas, one follows in the footsteps of servants like Chitraka, Patraka, or Raptaka. In the friendly sakyaras, one can become a friend like Baladev, Sridham, or Sudham. So in other words, this is Raganuga Bhakti, where you follow a particular resident. It doesn't mean you like walk in the street and you follow them. but you follow in their mood, and internally you serve them in serving Krishna. You don't become them. That's impersonalism. In the Vatsalya Rasa parental, characterized by parental affection, one can become like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. You don't become Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. You serve them, or you have that mood. That, you know, I'm holding little baby Krishna in my arms. And Madhurya Rasa, characterized by conjugal love, one can become like Srimati Radharani or her lady friends such as Lita and her serving maids, Mundaris like Rupa and Rati. This is the essence of all instruction in the matter of devotional service. So, I want to make it clear that in Madhurya Rasa, it's not that everyone in Madhurya Rasa is associating directly with Krishna. In Madhurya Rasa, many of the devotees are assisting those who are associating with Krishna, such as Rupa Goswami and Rati Mundri. Mundri means very small prepubescent girls who are serving Radha and Krishna in their most deep, intimate exchanges. So they're also in Madhurya Rasa, but they're not having that conjugal relationship with Krishna. They're assisting those who have a conjugal relationship with Krishna, so that's also considered Madhurya Rasa. So that's the end of verse 8, and we are going quickly. So today we did second part of verse 8, and now we are going on to verse 9. And this gets more and more elevated as we go along. Vaikunthas janito varamadupuri tatrapi rasotsavad vrindaranyamudurapani ramanat tatrapi govardhanaha radhakundam ihapi gokulapate premamrita plavanat kuryadasha virajato giritate sevam vivekinakaha. All right. Words. Vaikunthat, then Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Janitaha, because of birth. Vara, better. Madhupuri, the transcendental city known as Mathura. Tatrapi, superior to that. Rasa Ut Savat, because of the performance of the Rasa Lila. Vrinda Aranyam, the forest of Vrindavan. Udara Pani, of Lord Krishna. Ramanat, because of various kinds of loving pastimes. Tatra Api, superior to that, Govardhanaha, Govardhan Hill, Radhakundam, a place called Radhakund, Iha, a piece superior to this, Gokula Pate, of Krishna, the master of Gokula, Prema Amrita, with the nectar of divine love, Aplavanat, because of being overflooded, Kuryat, would do Asha, of this Radhakund, Virajataha, situated, Giritate, at the foot of Govardhan Hill, Sevam, service, Viveki, who is intelligent, Na, Nat, Ka, who. So now we're getting into really esoteric subject matters and a spiritual hierarchy. Okay. And don't look at this in a material way, like in materially we have a hierarchy. You know, someone is more intelligent than someone else. Actually, everyone in the spiritual world is rightly situated, all the places in the spiritual world, such as Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is the official spiritual world, where devotees serve Krishna in an awe and reverent way in the Narayan forms, the Vaikuntha forms. But now we're going to talk about something more elevated. But don't take it more elevated that something else is less elevated. This is not a part of the material world, or not a material distinction. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathura, Puri, is the transcendental forest of Vrindavana, because of Krishna's Rasa Lila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavana is Govardhan Hill, and was the site of his various Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent she, Radha Kund, stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokula, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radha Kund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So this is actually the topmost place of service. So here's the hierarchy. You got, of course, not even the material world is mentioned here. So you got the material world, which is, you know, at the bottom of the heap. The jail cell, where all the criminals are put. And, you know, there's high-class criminals and low-class criminals, such as if you go to prison, you'll find that there is a high-security prison, low-security prison, and for, anyway, different types of criminals. In any case, this material world is a prison. That's why it's called Durga's abode. Durga means to move with great difficulty. Durga. So anyway, so then above this material world, and we're not going to go through all the places. Of course, there's all the coverings in the material world. There's actually Shiva Loka, and above that is Vaikuntha Loka, and above that is Mathura, according to this verse, and above that is the forest of Vrindavan, and there's 12 forests in Braj, and Vrindavan forest is superior, and superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, and higher than Govardhan Hill is Radha Kund. Radha Kund is actually at the foot of Govardhan Hill. So, you know, when you talk about Radha Kund, you've got Radha Kund, you've got Govardhan Hill also. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that we should, if we go to these locations, we can stay at Govardhan, but we should not reside at Radha Kund. We can visit Radha Kund. He said if one tries to stay in Radha Kund and they are not qualified because of the offenses they will commit, seeing the residents there as ordinary persons and just projecting one's own material consciousness mentality upon the situation there, then Radha Kund will become Naraka Kund for one. Naraka Kund means hell. In other words, one might go to hell. Like I had one of my past friends from Finland, wasn't a disciple, don't worry. He left ISKCON and took shelter of one of the Babaji's there. And sometimes the Babaji's, they try to take people away from Prabhupada's movement by promising something that the person is not qualified to have. In other words, they say, I will give you your, or tell you your spiritual identity and tell you how to cultivate and understand it and do this internal service. And people are not qualified to do that. So anyway, so this one friend of mine, and as I said, he's not a disciple, this one friend went there, and then he found some fault in one of the Babaji's. And my business is not to criticize the Babaji's there. But anyway, and then he rejected him and then took up with another Babaji. And then finally rejected him, eventually lost a taste for Krishna consciousness. And he was a very intelligent guy. I mean, actually, I think he could speak Sanskrit or something. Very, very brilliant guy. From material estimation. And then he became a Buddhist. Oh my God. And that's not the end of the story. He became a Buddhist, and then after he became a Buddhist, he just even gave that up and became, started eating meat again. Very, very dangerous. You know, I remember one time, years ago when Prabhupada was on the planet, I visited Radha Kund, and then there was one of our ISKCON devotees who was just like swimming across Radha Kund like it was a swimming pool, and I was thinking, this is weird. What's happening? And this devotee had some spiritual trouble. get into what happened with him. And so when I go to Radhakund, because Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani is, it's a manifestation of Radharani's love for Krishna. So what I do is, when I bathe there, I take the water and pour it on my head. I don't stick my feet into Radhakund, because I consider this, it's so sacred, I wouldn't do that. Some of the sadhus also follow that same procedure when they're, the ones that live in Radhakund, they actually take a loda, that means like a little cup, you know, big cup or whatever, those you don't know what a loda is, and they dip it in Radhakund, and they pour it over their head and allow the water to go back into Radhakund. Of course, I know the water comes out from the hair, it goes through the feet, but they don't actually put their feet into Radhakund. So one should, and then I had another person who was under my guidance, and it's very unfortunate, and this person was a disciple under my guidance, and I told them, when you go to Radhakund, don't go put your feet in. And this person thought, oh, Guru Maharaj doesn't know, you know, we can put our feet in. And so this person did it. I'm not giving out the gender. So this person did it, and they fell down from devotional service and became a materialist. One has to be very careful. Especially, you know, that was two things, disobeying the order of the spiritual master and not properly respecting Radhakund, seen as an ordinary place. So here, let's continue with the purport. The spiritual world is 3/4 of the total creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is the most exalted region. The spiritual world is naturally superior to the material world. However, material and the adjoining areas, although appearing in the material world, are considered superior to the spiritual world because the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself appeared at Mathura. Mathura is right next to Vrindavan. So, in other words, when we're talking about the spiritual world, in this case, the generic spiritual world, we're talking about the Vaikuntha planets, where devotees are worshipping God, Krishna, not different than Krishna, but Krishna in a different mood, in a mood of awe and reverence. You know, just very awe and reverent, almost, I wouldn't say quite fearful, but extremely reverential. Not intimate in the sense that they can walk up to Vishnu and put their arm around him and say, how are you doing, buddy? And the only one who has sort of a very intimate relationship is Lakshmi. And Lakshmi is actually, even in her relationship, she's very reverent towards Lord Vishnu. And she's always at Lord Vishnu's feet and massaging his feet. Whereas you contrast that with Radha and Krishna's loving exchanges, that sometimes Krishna goes to Radharani's feet and begs for forgiveness. So it's quite a difference, isn't it? So, the interior forests of Vrindavan are considered superior to Mathura because of the presence of the 12 forests, Dwadasha Vana, that means 12 forests, such as Talavana, Madhuvana, and Bahulavana, which are famous as the various pastimes, for the various pastimes of the Lord. Thus, the interior Vrindavan forest is considered superior to Mathura, but superior to these forests is the divine Govardhan Hill, because Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill like an umbrella, raising it with his lotus-like beautiful hand to protect his associates, the denizens of Braja, from the torrential rain sent by the angry Indra, king of the demigods. It is also at Govardhan Hill that Krishna tends the cows with his cowherd friends, and there also he had his rendezvous, that means meeting, that's a romantic meeting, with his most beloved Sri Radha, and engaged in loving pastimes with her. Radhakund at the foot of Govardhan is superior to all because it is there the love of Krishna overflows. Advanced devotees prefer to reside at Radhakund because this place is the site of many memories of the eternal loving affairs between Krishna and Radharani. Rati Vilasa, the pastimes of love. That's what Rati Vilasa means. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Bhajalila stated that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first visited the area of Brajabhumi, he could not at first find the location of Radhakund. This means that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually searching for the exact location of Radhakund. Finally, he found the holy spot, and there was a small pond there. It's described that there was like a pond in the paddy fields, I mean where they were growing rice or some sort of grains, just a little pond, you know, little tiny pond. So he just like jumped in it. He took his bath in that small pond and told his devotees that the actual Radhakund was situated there. Later the pond was excavated by Lord Chaitanya's devotees, headed first by the six Goswamis such as Rupa and Raghunath Das. Presently there is a large lake known as Radhakund there. Srila Rupa Goswami has given much stress to Radhakund because of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire to find it. Who then would give up Radhakund and try to reside elsewhere? No person with transcendental intelligence would do so. The importance of Radhakund, however, cannot be realized by other Vaishnava sampradayas, nor can persons uninterested in the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understand the spiritual importance of the divine nature of Radhakund. Thus, Radhakund is mainly worshipped by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that finishes the ninth text. Wow, finishing really quickly. So, see some words about Radhakund. So Radhakund is actually accompanied by another kund, or lake, called Shaimakund. So, it's very, very interesting how these two lakes were formed. In short, the story is that Sri Krishna one time killed this demon in the shape of a bull named Arishtashura. That means the demon Arishta. So anyway, so when he killed Arishtashura, the gopis, especially Srimati Radharani, said, we're not going near you anymore because you are grossly sinful. Why was Krishna considered grossly sinful? Because he had killed a bull. A bull is generally known as the personality of Dharma. Dharma, the bull. And so the bull and cow in Vedic culture is very much, they're very much protected, much more than any other entity. So, Krishna, what Krishna did is he created Shaimakund, and he asked all the holy places to come, all the holy rivers and lakes, to come and fill Shaimakund, that means the kund he created. And so, Krishna took a bath there, and Krishna said to the gopis, you could come and take a bath in my kund. And Gopi said, your kund is contaminated. We're not going to take a bath in your kund. It's contaminated because you bathed in it. And the gopis began to, I guess it was the hoof print of Arishtashura, they began to dig it out to create their own kund. And Krishna says, well, you can use my water to create this kund. And the gopis said, we're not going to use your water. Your water is contaminated. Even though it's come from all the holy places, it's contaminated because you bathed in it. And so, basically, the gopis tried to form a bucket brigade and bring the water from the Manasa Ganga, which is quite a distance away. You know, if you know where the Manasa Ganga is, it's in the middle of Govardhan, and Radhakund and Shaimakund are at the head of Govardhan. In fact, Radhakund and Shaimakund are sometimes known as the two eyes of Govardhan, because Govardhan Hill, that whole area, is shaped like a peacock. So anyway, so the gopis, they couldn't do that. And finally, Krishna arranged that the holy places personified, the holy rivers, holy places personified, begged the gopis, please let us fill your kund. And so then the water from the Shaimakund overflowed and filled the Radhakund. And Krishna stated that the Radhakund is as dear to him as Srimati Radharani. And Krishna will bathe there every day. And then the gopis agreed to bathe in the Chandrakund. So that's a brief story. There's actually a lot more details of the story. But in any case, Radhakund is considered practically like liquefied love of Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So it's as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani is. That's how elevated it is. Okay, I think we can start text 10. And there's only 11 texts. So we're going to finish this faster than I thought. Okay. Kami vyaparito hare priyateya vyaktim nyayur janinas tevyu jnana vimukta bhakti parama primayika nishtas tataha tevyasta pachupalala pankaja trishastabhyo pisa radika prishta tadvadyam tadiya sarasitam nashrayatka kriti. Oops, I have to do the word by word synonyms. Karmibhyaha, then all fruit of workers, paritaha, in all respects, hare, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, priyataya, because of being favored, vyaktim, yayahu, it is said in the Shastra, jnananaha, those advanced in knowledge, tebhyaha, superior to them, jnanavimukta, liberated by knowledge, bhakti paramaha, those engaged in devotional service, prema eka nishta, those who have attained pure love of God, tataha, superior to them, tebhya, better than them, taha they, pashu pala pankaja drishada gopis, who are always dependent on Krishna, the coward boy, tabya, above all of them, api, certainly, sa, shi, radhika, shimati radharani, shimati radhika, preshta, very dear, tadbat, similarly, iyam this, tadiya, sadasi, her lake, shri radhakund, tam radhakund, not, ashrayet, who would take shelter of kahu, kriti, the most fortunate. In the Shastra, these the books, it is said that of all types of fruit of workers, he who is advanced in knowledge of the higher values of life is favored by the Supreme Lord Hari. There's another hierarchy in this particular verse. Out of many such people who are advanced in knowledge, jnanis, these people who have knowledge, one who is practically liberated by virtue of his knowledge may take the devotional service. He is superior to the others. However, one who has actually attained prema, pure love of Krishna, is superior to him. The gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees because they are always totally dependent upon Sri Krishna, the transcendental coward boy. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her Kund lake is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radhakund and in a spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, aprakrita vava. That means they're not manifest, aprakrita vava. Render loving service to the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, perform their Ashtakalya Leela. That means, Ashtakalya means the times of the day of Radha and Krishna's pastimes are divided into eight segments. And each one of those segments, they do specific, or they enact certain pastimes. Of course, there's a lot of variety within each one of those segments, like the first segment of the time, day. They're just getting up in the morning, obviously. So, I'm not going to get into the details. That's in other literatures, Goswami literatures. So that's called Ashtakalya Leela, the eightfold time frame of their pastimes. Their eternal eightfold daily pastimes. Indeed, those who execute devotional service in the banks of the Radhakund are the most fortunate people in the universe. So basically, it doesn't mean we should all rush to Radhakund in our minds and our hearts. That's, you know, you are where your mind is at. You know, you could have your body on the banks of Radhakund and your mind could be in Hawaii. It's really the question of putting your mind there. Wherever your mind is at, that's where you're at. And if your mind's in Radhakund, even if you're in America, even if you're in Germany, if you're in Fiji, Australia, New Zealand, you are at Radhakund. and that's why I have Govardhan with me all the time, so I can always be at Govardhan. At the present moment, almost everyone is engaged in some kind of fruitive activity. Fruitive means they want something for themselves. Those who are desirous of gaining material profits by working are called karmis. That means they want the fruit of the work, or fruit of workers. All living entities within this material world have come under the spell of Maya, illusion. This is described in the Vishnu Purana, very important verse, which probably would often quote Vishnu Shakti Pura Prabdachi Trakekata Pura Vidikama Sanganya Trithira Shakti Ishate. That's also recited in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhalila 6.154. So I'll give a translation, so I don't think probably gives a direct translation here. Vishnu Shakti means the direct potency of Lord Vishnu, the internal potency. Para is transcendental. Paraprokta is transcendental. And then Shedrak Yakya, the knower of the bodies. That's us, according to the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Tata is also transcendental. In other words, we're also transcendental. And then there's the third energy of the Lord, avidya. Vidya means knowledge. Avidya means ignorance. Ignorant action is the third energy, is known as the third energy of the Lord. So there's three energies, basic shaktis of the Lord, the paraprakriti, the spiritual energy, the kshetragya, that's the jiva soul, the marginal energy, and then you had, which is also transcendental, but right now it's covered, or we're covered, and then avijja karma, then you have the material energy, which covers the living entity. And I think we should probably end here. And we can actually, let's see, we should start this verse again tomorrow, because it's so important. So let's go back to the end, and then we can take questions. Yeah, let's start verse 10. And so let's say today we ended with verse 9. So we'll give it another start again. Okay, so now we can take questions about these esoteric subject matters. Let me allow you to unmute yourselves. Okay, you are officially allowed to unmute yourselves. So, who has a question? You can type it in the text window, chat window. You can raise your hand. Oh, Madhava raised his hand. So you can unmute yourself.
Dandavat Gurudev. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Doing good?
You're doing good. So, oh. Yeah. So I have, Maharaj, I have two questions. One is First, why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Mayapur? It is not mentioned in the text. 9. Because Mathura is beyond Vaikuntha. So Krishna appeared and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, non-different than Krishna himself and Mayapur. Why it is not mentioned Mayapur Dham? That's first question. And the second question.
All right. Get to the second question.
Okay. And the second question is this Radha Kund, Syam Kund, why it is not higher on the Govardhan Hill, why it is at the bottom of the hill.
All right. Well, it's actually at the head. Even though it's described at the bottom of the hill, it's actually at the head of the hill. I'll answer that first. Because if Govardhan Hill is shaped like a peacock, and the two eyes of the peacock are Radhakund and Chaimakund.
Oh, very interesting. Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
It's actually not at the tail, it's actually at the head. Okay, that's the answer to the first one. So why isn't Mayapur mentioned? Mayapur is Gupta Vrindavan. Gupta, of course, means hidden Vrindavan. And one who understands Lord Chaitanya's philosophy knows that Mayapur is non-different from Vrindavan. But that's not specifically mentioned in this verse. It's not that every verse of the Goswamis will deal with all the different connections and aspects of the philosophy. It's dealing with one specific aspect of the philosophy, the Siddhanta. It's dealing with one particular aspect of the Siddhanta rather than every single aspect. That means a lot of things are not mentioned here. Shyamakunda is not even mentioned. So, because when you say Radhakund, I'm going to Radhakund, you're implicitly saying, you know, the Radhakund, Shyamakund area. So, just by not mentioning it doesn't mean anything philosophically. It's just that Rupa Goswami here is glorifying Radhakund. I mean, like in the different scriptures, like in many places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, just Mayapur is glorified. You don't hear too much about Govardhan in the Majalila. Not too much about Govardhan or Radhakund in the Majalila. You hear about that in the Anjalila. So it's just a question of where these things are described. Okay?
Thank you, Madhava.
All right. And who else has a question? I know these are esoteric subject matters. So someone else must have some sort of question or something to add about Radhakund, Shyamakund, Giri, Govardhan. If not, we can end early. And it looks like we're going to finish the Nectar of Instruction pretty quickly. The main thing to understand is that we don't rush to live at Radhakund. And one has to have the adhikar, the right to live at Radhakund. I mean, we can visit there. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you go to the holy places like Govardhan, Radhakund, Shyamakund, he advises you just stay for a fortnight. Fortnight means 2 weeks. Because what happens is if you stay any longer, you will let your guard down. Letting your guard down means you'll begin to see these places as ordinary places. You'll see the people there as ordinary people. And you will commit offenses. Considering the holy place, a ordinary place means you're committing offenses. Like if you go to the holy place and you do some mundane activity, you know, let's say, you know, whatever mundane activity, let's say you go to the holy place and watch mundane movies. I mean, that's, what can I say? That's not what Prabhupada intended. That's not what Krishna appreciates. So when you go to a holy place, you have to adhere to strict Krishna consciousness. And, you know, if you want to do some mundane thing, just go to Delhi. Okay, so Nalini Kant, you have a question. You can unmute yourself.
Hare Krishna Gurudev, please accept my respectful obeisances. Gurudev, as you discussed several times, like when Srila Prabhupada was giving instructions, there were some absolute instructions and there were some generalized instructions based mm-hmm. on time, place, circumstances. So when we take instructions from you or a disciple takes from a spiritual master, are there absolute and relative instructions in that case as well?
Of course. There's relative instructions, you know, sometimes there's even suggestions. Like if you were to come to me and say, you know, Gurudev, I weigh too much. And I would say, you know, eat 10 tomatoes a day, or tomatoes, as you say, 10 tomatoes a day. That's not an absolute instruction. That instruction is just basically a suggestion. Or it may be something that's time-bound, you know, that you should do some deity worship at the temple or something like that. It doesn't mean the instructions through the rest of your life. I mean, it's good to do deity worship all the time anyway, but I mean, just like different stages of life, different injunctions are there, and different situations, different injunctions. Someone has to have the intelligence to understand. If one doesn't have the intelligence, one can inquire. But sometimes, sometimes I'll just give some suggestions to disciples. They don't have to take it literally.
Yes.
You know, I remember sometimes I have to be real careful too, because some devotees sometimes take things literally. Sometimes there's a young man at the temple and a young girl at the temple, and I'll tell the young girl, "Yeah, he seems like a nice guy." And she'll say, think, "Oh, Guru Dev is telling me to get married to him." I said, "No." Yeah. You know, and then finally I get an invitation to their marriage. And they said, "Guru Dev, you arranged our marriage." I didn't arrange this marriage. And then when it doesn't work, they say, "Guru Dev, it's your fault. You arranged this marriage." And I said, "I didn't arrange the marriage." You know, so people blame sometimes for things that are above and beyond his ability. So, you know, we can suggest things, but you know, an order is an order. So what else?
Gurudev, just a little clarification. If like I understood that putting feet in Radha Kunj and sprinkling Radha Kund water on the head, so that is absolute instructions from you. But when it comes to
when you become a pure devotee, you can, it's a little bit different. When you've realized your siddha deha, then sure, I mean, then Radharani will tell you what to do.
Gurudev, how about like you give instructions like change your Brahman thread every month, or wear a watch, and we
these are not absolute instructions.
Okay, good.
I mean, if you get to you get too paranoid about these things, you know, then okay, you're good. Not wearing a watch, you think you're going to go to hell. That's a suggestion. That's why. That's why Guru has to be really careful, because people take suggestions, or even hints, or even things that the Guru didn't intend to say or intend to indicate, as orders. So it's not like that, you know. You know, it's probably a good idea to wear a watch.
Yes.
So you can be on time. It's actually a good idea. I like watches. Prabhupada always wore a watch. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a pocket watch, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur always wore a watch. But, you know, it's not an absolute, you know, whatever. If you don't wear it, you know, don't worry. It's not a mad elephant defense. Okay, I think we have to end.
Thank you,
now. All right, thank you all very much. And tomorrow is our Sunday program. And I'm not sure. We'll probably be talking about the chapter from the Bhagavad Gita like we've been talking about during the last few weeks. Just doing a summary of a chapter. And next week, we have coming up Balaram's Appearance Day, which is on Thursday here in the United States. I'm not sure what day it's at in New Zealand, Australia, Fiji, and all that other nice places. But Balaram's Appearance Day is coming up next week, and the week after is Janmashtami, Krishna's Appearance Day. So, thank you very much. All glorious to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki.